In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I want to share with you what happened yesterday. Yesterday, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we brought our CCD children, and we do this every month. And I thought that I would want to talk to them about the miracles of Jesus. And we took the Bible and read some of the great miracles that Jesus did with the lepers, with the man that was let down from the roof, and he saw the faith of the four men that brought him. And I kept on sharing with them what Jesus did. And then I said, you know what? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. And you know what? I've seen Jesus do miracles at Holy Rosary. And it's always Jesus who does them. He can work through our hands, but it's Jesus who heals the sick. I said, there was a woman, and this woman, her arm was not able to be moved. It was by her side. And she came, and I prayed with her, and I said, move your arm. She said, I can't. I said, move your arm. And she raised her arm over her shoulder. And one of the young boys said, that's my aunt. I said, well, did you hear about it in the house? Oh, yes. I said, what did you hear? That a miracle happened in my aunt's life. Oh, yes, a miracle. A miracle. Now, I'm going to tell you, God does not heal everybody for one reason or another. I have no idea. But I do know that he tells us to pray for the sick, to lay hands upon the sick, and watch them get well. You know, I prayed for my father that he would get well, and I had Father McDonough pray for my father, and my father died. And I was tempted. I said at the funeral mass, I was tempted that I needed people to pray for me so that someone came with colon cancer, I would pray for them for healing. It didn't take long. I was at Sacred Heart in North Quincy a long time ago in 1980. And I'm looking at the steps, and this lady comes up to me and says, would you pray for my husband? I said, does he have colon cancer? And she said, yes. And I looked at those steps. I wanted to run up those steps. I wanted to say, God didn't heal my father. Why should I pray for you? That's not the way I did it, though. I prayed for her husband, and I prayed that he would be healed, and that he would be healed from the very thing that my father died of. And guess what? He was. He was, by the grace of God. Let me tell you this, my friends. I have prayed with people, and I have seen them get healed. And I have also prayed with people, and I've seen them go to God. What about Anthony, the young man, young, wasn't young, the man who came to the church with his friends? He had liver cancer. Well, what do you do with someone who has liver cancer? The first thing I did was to offer him the meatballs that I was frying. He said he didn't want any. And then I said, okay, Anthony, what I want you to do is to close your eyes, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive your sins and save you. And we did. Anthony looked like a little altar boy. His heart being touched by Jesus Christ was so beautiful. The next week he came into my rectory and into the church and said, you're not going to believe this. Now, Anthony was not a person of faith before this. He said, the devil came into my room, and he said, I want you. And Anthony said, I belong to Jesus. And with that, there was a hand that came into my room and pointed at the devil, and he fled. That hand was the hand of the Lord. The next week he came, he said Jesus came into his room, and he looked at him and loved him. And I said, that's so beautiful, Anthony. I believed it. He was not a religious man. He was not a man of the church. He only knew that he asked God to come into his heart and forgive his sins. Well, let me tell you, that second time he came, or that third time he came, he went home and took a stroke and died. And I said to myself, isn't this amazing how he died? Because the devil was looking for him. And Jesus came as the good shepherd to save him from his sins. I believe that God wants to save you and me, heal you and me, bless you and me. I believe that. I believe that. My faith tells me that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that. So, Lord, touch your people today. Let them know, not only know of, but know personally the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins and that he rose from the dead. Let them know the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. It's a big difference. It's salvation. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? Have you experienced Jesus? He wants you to experience him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 16. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to the rich man that the manager was squandering his property. So the rich man summoned him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to go and beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, how much do you owe my master? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this world and of this age are more, the children of this age, of the world, are more shrewd in dealing with their own than the children of the light. I tell you, that's really true. When someone makes up their mind that they are going to have a business, if they're smart, they make the restaurant open and they give them a lot of pasta, if it's an Italian restaurant, enough to take home. I tell you, because people will come back. But then there are people that are cheap. They say, well, you know what? We're not going to give them too much. I know that in giving people much, that's what the world does. And they will get more people because people will tell people, go to that restaurant. We not only thought it was good, but we brought so much pasta home for another meal. Oh, yes. My friend John heard about this many years ago. He has a flower shop. And he heard me say, you know, be generous with the people that you are dealing with. And John said, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to do more flowers than what they have asked. And you know what? It's worked out. Thanks be to God for John, that he heard the word of God. And he put it into practice. That's what Jesus says. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Are you one of them? In dealing with their own generation, they're not the children of the light. The children of the light, you know what they do, the children of God? They make fun of the Catholics, or the Catholics make fun of the Protestants. When the people of the world know how to make money. I remember the Hilltop. When it first started, you get a sirloin steak with the bone in, and it was like $4.95 and a big salad and all the butter and rolls you could eat. And you know what? When time passed, they had crowds and crowds and crowds, but then they started to be cheap. The salads got smaller. The prices were out of this world. I'm not saying they should have had $4.95. That's not what I'm saying. And the people stopped coming. While they were giving the people what they needed and what they wanted, there were crowds and crowds and crowds that came to that restaurant. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little, that's in money, very little, is faithful also in much, that's people. And whoever is dishonest in very little, that's money, is dishonest also in much, that's people. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, you or who will entrust to you the faithful with what belongs to another? Who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for the slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. So I tell you, be generous with your money. Be generous with your money, because God will multiply it. I believe that. That's the little things. Money has to do with the little things. If you are faithful with the little things, God will give you greater things to be faithful for, and that's people, and to bring them to Jesus Christ. Chapter 16, verse 14. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed Jesus. So he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For what is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God." What men prize as being all important is an abomination in the sight of God. It's an abomination. You might say, "I want to get rich." Just keep on being generous. You need not get rich. You have enough to pay your bills and a little left over. I don't pray to get rich. I pray that God would give me the grace that I need every single day. God has been very good to me with money. The other day I gave some away, was more than my tithe. And you know what? That next day, I got almost all of it back. I got all of it back plus extra. And so I'm going to use the all of it back for the kingdom of God. Let's continue. "But God knows your hearts, for what is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were in effect until John came. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is proclaimed, and everyone who tries to enter it by force. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke or letter in the law to be dropped." Jesus in another place says, "It is heaven and earth will pass away, but my word and my words will not pass away." Oh, yes, that's real. That's real. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of Jesus will never pass away. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. It's simple as that. If you divorce your wife and marries another, you commit adultery. But you know what? You can see with the church if you could get your marriage fixed. And people say, well, you have to pay a lot of money. It's not a lot of money at all. It's not a lot of money at all. And there are many reasons why the marriage didn't work. Maybe one person was a drunk. Maybe one person used their hands and hurt the other person. There are many reasons why the judges will take that marriage and say it was not a sacramental marriage. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and had fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at the gate there lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick Lazarus' sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, not because he was poor, but because he had faith. The rich man also died and also was buried. And in Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water so that he would cool my tongue. For I am in agony in these flames." The rich man had no faith. But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, during his lifetime, had received evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will also not come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." And it's that way with Jesus. He not only died and was buried, but he rose on the third day and ascended into heaven. He rose from the dead, and people still don't believe. Oh, yes, he rose from the dead. And the apostles went throughout the world proclaiming that he died for our sins and he rose from the dead. And they baptized people. As they baptized people who had faith, they were brought into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, it is so important that we have our values properly experienced, thinking that only God can give us what we really need. Again, be generous with your money. You say, "I don't have much." Still be generous. Take 10% of what you have and give it away. Take 10% of what you have and give it away. God promises that he will open the windows of heaven if you do this. He will open the windows of heaven if you do this. Jesus said to his disciples, chapter 17 of Luke, "Questions for some stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. That is very important. You're very important. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. Not are you going to forgive? You must forgive. If someone comes to you and repents seven times during the day, you must forgive them. And if the person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. I'm going to tell you what Jesus is going to say. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending the sheep in the fields, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron, serve me while I eat and drink? Later you can eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. When people see us caring for the homeless, they say, oh gosh, that's wonderful. We're only doing what we're supposed to be doing. It's no feather in our hat. We're only doing what we're supposed to be doing. And what are we doing? We are feeding God's people who are broken. And we are trying to love God's people who are broken. Let me tell you, we are doing just what we're supposed to be doing. It's no feather in our cap. We're only doing what the Lord is doing. And it's not only doing it during Christmas. We do it every single week because the people out on the street are not only hungry at Christmas, but they're hungry every single day. We cannot do it every day, but we can do it every week. And by the grace of the living God, we have done it every week. But two times since 2005, that is the grace of the living God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, she said, let it be done unto me according to your word. And with her yes, she changed human history by the grace of the living God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and pitched his tent among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What have you learned today? What have you learned today? Have you learned that if you're faithful in small things and in your money, God is going to have you be faithful over big things? And the big things are always people. Oh, yes. Jesus looked out at the crowd today at Mass. The reading was he looked out at the crowd and he had felt sorry for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. How we need shepherds to proclaim the word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How we need shepherds that are going to tell people that Jesus came and that he died on the cross for their sins, my sins too, and that he was buried and rose from the dead. Oh yes, Jesus came from the dead, and still people do not believe. He rose from the dead, and people still do not believe. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.